Okay, welcome everyone. Welcome everyone. Wonderful. We have such a wonderful crowd with us tonight. I'm just going to post the Mara Makomos one more time. For those of you who are on our Zoom, you will see them in the chat. And for those of you on our Facebook Live, you should see them in the previous post. Okay, welcome everyone. Welcome, welcome. All right, it's such a wonderful, wonderful chance for us to reconvene our learning of Shmoneh Esrei, which last left off in a very different world. And this is our chance to be able to come together and to learn once again together, and be able to... Just give me one moment. There we go. Okay, wonderful. I apologize, a little full start. Okay, so we last left off, we were studying Shmoneh Esrei together, and last year, which feels like 10 years ago in COVID years, at least one pandemic ago, we were exploring the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei and the beginning of the section of the Bakoshos. And this brings us to the section of the Shmoneh Esrei, which is a little bit into the Bakoshos. The Bakoshos are, of course, the centerpiece of the Shmoneh Esrei, where we actually ask God for various things that we need and that we want. Our aspirations, our dreams, things that become part and parcel of our daily life, our sustenance, our health, our wisdom, our opportunity to be able to realize our destiny, our national destiny, our personal destiny, so many different aspects of life that we bring to the world of Shmoneh Esrei to ask for from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the section of Bakoshos, as we reviewed very quickly from last season, it began with Bina, it began with the notion of praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for wisdom, for insight, for the ability to even understand this world. And what a difference that bracha makes from the last time we studied it together and when we convene this evening to look at Shmoneh Esrei again. How much would we all want from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us perspective and insight and understanding? And how we reflected last year that the bracha of Bina, the bracha for insight and knowledge, is not a prayer for data and intelligence. It's a prayer to understand the world, to understand the implications of the world and the meaning of things and the impact of things and the consequences of things, and how much more we can appreciate today how that has to be part of our mindset when we daven before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So much we have been humbled in so many ways of the degree to which we understand and comprehend the world. We spent a lot of time last time we learned together discussing the hubris that exists in the world and how man thinks we can conquer all. And yet, as we stand tonight, we've certainly been adjusted in terms of that perspective. We moved on from the bracha of Bina to the bracha of Tshuva, and we discussed what it means to daven for Tshuva, for repentance, during the season of the year that is not predisposed for a focus and concentration on the world of Tshuva, and how that relates to the goals that we set and the aspirations that we create surrounding the Yamim Noraim, and how that momentum carries throughout the year and the little moments of improvement that we can experience throughout the year that really do define our religious personality in so many ways. And then we discussed, of course, the bracha of Slicha, the bracha of forgiveness, and what it means to be able to stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu each and every day in a fresh experience of connection, to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets things go, to recognize that we let things go, and to bring a renewed sense of connection that is not defined by our past, by our disappointments, by our frustrations, by our challenges, but rather that is defined by how we are able to live our lives with a certain sense of momentum forward. This brings us to the bracha of Geula. That's the bracha we're going to discuss tonight, the bracha of Geula. So let's first just reflect, let's first just recite the bracha. Let's read what the bracha is, and then we will begin to explore some of the insights related to this bracha. Re'ei ve'onyenu, behold or see our affliction, our challenge, our pain. Viriva rivenu, and take up our conflicts, our grievances, our oppositions. Ugeleinu, and redeem us. Mehera, very quickly. Leman shemecha, do so in order for us to be able to promote your name. Ki, because, goel chazak ata. You are a great redeemer. You are a powerful redeemer. You are a transcendent redeemer. Baruch ata Hashem. Hashem, you are the source of all blessing. Goel Yisrael. You are the redeemer of the Jewish people. This is the bracha of Geula. And the first question that we're going to address tonight, and if you have the Makoros in front of you, they were posted both on the WhatsApp and on the Facebook. If the posted on Facebook, that's what say the Facebook, it gives away your age. So the first thing that we're going to discuss tonight is first the question of sequence and placement. What is a bracha about redemption doing at this point in the Shemona Esrei? The Shemona Esrei has become very personal at this point. We opened with the world of the Avos, and we're part of a bigger story and a greater legacy. We got to Gevura, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness, Kedusha, his transcendence. We already explored these lofty elements of our relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. We're now in a completely different space. We're talking about wisdom. We're talking about our mistakes. We're talking about our relationship with God. And we're about to talk about our health, our parnasa. We're about to explore all sorts of very personal spaces. What is a bracha for geula, for redemption, which is really a national, historical, global concept, doing embedded in this space in the Shemona Esrei? Not only is it peculiar to encounter it here, but it's also peculiar to not encounter it later on, because we have a series of brachos that we're going to explore later, which all relate to Yerushalayim and Malchus and Shomei Atfilah, and it's actually missing this culminating appeal for redemption. It would be very natural to put a bracha for redemption there. I would venture to even suppose, and I'm not challenging anyone and I'm not judging anyone, but there's almost a disruptive element to this bracha in the momentum of our Shemona Esrei. Atachonein, we have lots to think about. We need knowledge, we need understanding, we need insight, we need it for Torah, we need it for our job, we need it to deal with children if we're blessed with children, we need it to deal with the society around us, the reality around us, maybe even to make a good decision next Tuesday, right? We need wisdom. We need wisdom. We get it. We're in it. We need tshuva. We need an ability to start fresh. We need slicha. We need a Kadosh Baruch Hu's, you know, ability to give us that opportunity. We need refuah. We get it. I would venture to imagine that the average person during this bracha struggles with what to really think about and what to insert. What do you insert in the bracha of Goel Yisrael? Do you insert a tefillah that Hashem should redeem the Jewish people? Do you stop this momentum of focus on yourself and all of a sudden take a step back for a minute and sort of more globally say, oh, and God, we really need the geula. And you have something to contribute there that's personalized, like you will in the following paragraphs of Shemona Esrei, where you have your list of names and you have their job interviews lined up and all the different things that you want to contribute. What is this bracha doing here? And what is this bracha really, really about? So our goal for tonight is to really unpack the bracha of Geula. And by the end of tonight, it is my dream. That this actually will be one of the longest brachos for you. That this bracha will actually be where a lot of attention lands, and you have much more than a list of people who are ill to insert in this bracha. This bracha is actually highly personal. It's just very, very misunderstood. So let's begin. The Gemara in Megillah, in source number one, on Daf Yud Zayin, the Gemara is essentially delineating the brachos of Shemona Esrei, and trying to identify sources. as to why they are in the sequence that we find them. So the Gemara says about four lines from the bottom, Uma ra'u lomar ge'ula b'shvius. Why was ge'ula placed in the sequence of Shemona Esrei in the seventh bracha? What's the reason? Amar Rava, says Rava, mitoch she'asidin ligoel b'shvius. Very simple. It alludes to the following historical reality, and that is that we have a tradition that we're going to be redeemed during the seventh year of a Shemitah cycle. We're coming up on a seventh year of a Shemitah cycle. Lefichach kavua b'shvius. Therefore, there's a certain element of seven. There's a certain resonating power and tone to the number seven that is redemptive, that is sort of the culmination of the natural world. 6 days of creation, seventh day is Shabbos, this seventh year in the cycle as overtones of redemption, and that's why it's positioned in the seventh bracha. So then the Gemara says, "V'ha Amar Mar, is that true? After all, we were taught by the Master, the Shishis Kolos, that on the sixth year, there already be callings of redemption. B'shvius, in the seventh year, melchamos. There are going to be wars. There's going to be conflict. There's going to be challenge and difficulty. B'motzei shvius, on the year following Shemitah, on that eighth year, ben David ba. That's when Mashiach is going to come. So the real year of Geula is the eighth year. So really, we should position the bracha of Geula as the eighth bracha in Shemona Esrei. And the Gemara then makes an assertion that is so profound and so deep and so critical to understand. The Gemara says, Melchama nami aschalta de Geula. The war that you are relating to, says the Gemara, you are relating to the war as simply the pathway to reach the goal. And therefore, we have to transverse this historical obstacle called the war, called the challenge, in order to reach the culminating experience of redemption. That is not the way we relate to Geula, to redemption. The war itself, the battle, the challenge, the frustration, the difficulty, the obstacles, aschalta de Geula, it's actually part of the redemption. So embedded within the identity of seven, even though it is manifest historically as a point in the calendarical year or series of years that is associated with the conflict that leads up to redemption, that conflict is not independent of redemption. It's not something we have to survive. That conflict is part of what propels us through redemption. It's aschalta de Geula. It's the beginning of the redemption itself. And that's why Geula is this bracha of the seventh. And we will see that that is so much of what the bracha of Geula is in Shemona Esrei. It is the convergence of confronting the crises of life, the existential crises of life, the defining crises of life, the personal crises of life, confronting them, dealing with them, but at the same time recognizing that they too can be a catalyst and even part and parcel of the experience of redemption. And that is part of what we're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. So let's explore a little further. The next source comes from Sefer Amud HaTefillah, Re'eino. So the question is, what is this bracha really about? Is this bracha about national redemption? And if so, so then what is it doing at this part of Shemona Esrei? We understand why it's number seven. Why was this sequence arranged in such a fashion? So the next source reads as follows. Geula achar selicha. Why do we talk about redemption after forgiveness? Ki ein lanu koach ve'efsharus lilman haTorah ulekayim ha-mitzvos karoi. Biyosenu mutboyim babots, ragleinu besoch hagolos amar v'animar hazem. You see, part of what we're appealing for in this section of the Bakoshos is a life of serenity, is a life of peace, is a life of stability. We are unable to reach the goals of Yahadus, the goals of immersing ourselves in Torah and Avodas Hashem, so long as we are restrained by the limiting realities of exile. And so therefore, part of what we need personally in order to actualize our own individual potential is to extricate ourselves or to be redeemed from this very limiting reality. So that sense that we have, that sense that we have on a very personal and a very real level, that we're restrained, that we're held back from really being who we want to be, from really accomplishing what we want to accomplish, because we live in the constraints of exile, of galus, and we don't live in a redeemed world with a open and manifest presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, that in and of itself is part of the personal journey. Be'oseinu mibayim ba'boats, we're drowning in the mud, we're in the muck, we're not able to learn Torah properly, we're not able to serve Hashem properly. Ve'einanu yecholim la'asos es kol asher yitzanu nafshenu mikoved ha'masa ve'ola kovet she'echbidu aleinu. We can't realize what we really want to accomplish without being able to be unrestrained, without being able to live in a redeemed world. In fact, we could think about it as follows. The first three brachos of the bakashos, of the requests in the Shmona Esrei, the bracha of das, of knowledge and wisdom, the bracha of tshuva, of repentance, and the bracha of slicha, the bracha of forgiveness, this creates sort of a landscape that is cleared now with unlimited potential. It is no longer restrained by a lack of comprehension of what to do. We're not confused. We have clarity. We have clarity of how to move forward. And we have the spiritual fortitude and the religious conviction in order to be able to move forward. And we've positioned the relationship in such a space that there are no barriers because we're in a zone of forgiveness. There is a clear path for us to be able to advance in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But those are all internal individual barriers. Those are all things that are holding us back because of our own failure, because of our own incapacities. But in order to be able to truly move forward, we have to create an environment where we are no longer challenged externally as well. And that is impossible in a world of galus, in a world of exile. And so therefore, this bracha of geula is the bracha that naturally follows the first three brachos. It's a bracha of saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want to live a happy, stable, and fulfilling and meaningful life. But in order for that to happen, we have to acknowledge that right now we're doing so from a space that is totally compromised. And so therefore, right here, right now, we insert this national appeal for Geula, that our entire reality should change. So it's not just Geula as part of the story of the Jewish people. That's Geula that belongs at the end of the Bakashos, Yushalayim Ircha. That's the journey of redemption as it expresses itself in the narrative of Jewish history, in our story. This Geula is a totally different Geula. This is how us as individuals will benefit and will rise and will be propelled forward as a result of being part of that national geula. So this is not Yaakov davening for everyone else to have a geula. This is Yaakov looking at a Kadosh Baruch Hu and saying, God, for me to really be me, for me to really accomplish what I want to accomplish in this world, for me to advance in all the ways that I want to, I need you to redeem the Jewish people. This is about me. It's about my place in the larger communal landscape of Am Yisrael and where we find ourselves and where we find ourselves. And we can relate to this so much more today than I think we could have in the past, because the notion that our national journey has impact on our individual journey is something that we experience every single day now. Every single day we wake up in the morning and our own individual life choices are significantly impacted by the broader world around us, by the broader world around us. And so therefore, And so therefore, by the broader world around us. And so therefore, today we understand even more than ever, we understand what it means that we need everything to change so that it could change for us as individuals. And that's what we're asking for. It's very, very different. It's different than Seder night. Seder night is about us as part of a large people. It's about moving the whole Jewish people forward. This little bracha is about appealing to move the Jewish people forward because of how it affects me as an individual and my trajectory in life and my my aspirations for growth. So that's approach number one. Approach number two, but in approach number one, we assume this really is a bracha for national geula. It's just a bracha for national geula that relates to me as an individual. Approach number two is much more radical. And it's radical because if you've never heard it before, it's really very dissonant with how you generally relate to the word geula, what geula is a trigger for. It's a trigger for national, something global. So says the Sifsei Chaim. And he's really dealing with the interpretation of Rashi. And that is the following. Mipashtos divrei ha-gemara sh'amru mitoch sh'asidin ligo b'shvias v'chavua b'shvias ma'asha sh'pirchas ha-geula hazu hi ala geula asida mehagos. The pashup shot of the Gemara seems to be that the geula, the redemption we're talking about here, is the redemption from exile, the national redemption of the Jewish people. V'zeu tamua, and he asks our question, so what's that doing here? It should be with Es Tzemach David. So he writes about five or six lines down, Mishum kach meforesh Rashi. So he says, this is why Rashi explains, Aschalta de geula hi, ve'af al gav de hai geula, lav geula de golosi, Ela shi galanu minatsaros habos aleinu tamid. So listen to this. Rashi says, this is not about national geula. This is about personal geula. Not personal geula like we explained before. Mashiach coming and how it affects me as an individual. Not that personal geula. This is about Yaakov's life and Yaakov's day and the personal galus that he experiences. And all of the individual pressures and challenges and constraints and sorrows and difficulties that he faces and obstacles in order to try to move forward and have a life of meaning and a life of purpose and a life of stability. And this is about reaching out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and asking for a personal geula from the sorrows that we experience now in the moment where we are now. This is about a personal redemption from the challenges that we experience as individuals. This is the bracha where you focus not just on the world of what's going to happen to the Jewish people. This is the bracha where you focus on, okay, it's not, I need insight, I need wisdom. It's not just there's a medical issue and I need it healed. There's a larger existential sense of just unfulfilled ambitions, things that I want in my life. I want to build a family. I want to build a relationship. I want to build a business. And it's not just about a transactional solution to a particular problem. It's about a recognition of how all the problems interface with each other to create this cage that holds us back from what we really want to accomplish and who we could really be and what we really want to do. And as a result, the geula, the redemption that we're looking for, is a divine intervention that allows us to live life with that stability within geulus, within geulus. This is not a prayer for geulus to end. This is an acknowledgement that many days will pass where Golus doesn't end. The Afal Pisha Yismameya. Im Kozeh Achakelo, we hope, we pray, we aspire. But at the end of the day, this is about real life. And this is about aspiring and asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for redemption in real life. And it begins with the word Re'eh. So let's look at source number four together from the Nachal Eliyahu. Why the word Re'eh? It's actually an interesting conjugation. Right? Re'eh, it's almost a command. Hey God, look, see, none of the other brachos start with this type of language. What is the re'eh? Why are we referring to sight, to vision? So says the Nachal Elio beautifully, Miloshen akosuv ra'o ra'isi, esoni ami asher b'mitzrayim. When Hashem says to Moshe, right, the Jewish people have suffered. Their suffering has grown to such, you know, incalculable rates. And ra'o ra'isi, I see their pain, I see their consternation, I see their suffering, I see it. V'chein vayar Elokim es b'nei Yisrael vayeda Elokim. I see the cries of the Jewish people, and vayeda Elokim. Lamanu shetchilas ha-ge'ula v'ha-yeshua hi b'ri'ya. The beginning of salvation is always vision. What does that mean, that the beginning of salvation is always vision? So let's look at the Sifsei Chaim in source number 5. Sarech lahavin mahu re'ei. What are you seeing? V'chiyal el adash ha-kadosh baruch hu ino roeh? Is there some sort of working presumption that a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't see what's going on? Kadosh Baruch Hu sees everything. V'alo lefon ha-kol golui. Before God, everything's revealed. Ela kavana hi. Kimo shekosav ha-yiba yamim haram maheim. He quotes the pasuk, "Kim eschilu lispal v'tal shav asam elokim min avoda v'yishma elokim es nakasam v'yar elokim es b'nei Yisrael v'yeda elokim." That Hashem sees the Jewish people, he sees their pain, and then he knows. Gam po yesh lisho. What does that mean that in Mitzrayim Hashem saw them? And what does that mean that he knew? Hashem sees everything, he knows everything. Perish Rashi v'yeda elokim nosan aleihem leiv v'lo helem einov. That what does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew? What does it mean, v'yada? What does it mean that he sees? It means that there's a certain divine intentionality in engaging this historical reality and relating to it and intervening in it. And that intervention is sourced in the relationship and the closeness and the promise that exists between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people, between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael. When we say Re'eh to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're not saying see what's going on because maybe Hashem got distracted, right? Maybe he's, you know, a little too, you know, there's a lot of notifications going on up there, you know. That's not the problem. It's not that God got distracted. Re'eh means that we want to experience God in our life in such a way that we recognize that he sees what's happening, vayeda, and that sight, that cognizance, that divine attention should lead to action, should lead to redemption, should lead to intervention. Re'ei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just see what's going on. You always see what's going on. But see what's going on in such a way that something happens. See what's going on in a manner that Hashgacha, the divine providence, releases an interventional force in nature, in the world, that moves the reality forward. That's Re'ei V'Anyenu. See our affliction. It really means do something about it. Doing something about it always begins with giving a micro attention by the Ribbono Shel Olam to the Jewish people, to what's going on in my life. So Re'ei V'Anyenu, this is the first thing we think about when we say this bracha. We look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we say, Re'ei V'Anyenu, see what's happening in my life. Look around at what's happening in my life because I need you to do something about it. I need you to bring that vision to fruition. I need something to happen that is interventional, that is elevating, that moves the situation forward. That's Re'ei V'Anyenu. That's the first Re'ei. That's what it means. Nosan libo aleihem ki kirav es tzarasam eilav. The second interpretation is a little bit different, and it brings us into a different focus. And that is, if you look at source number 6, so Kedivrei Rashi kosav gam Ramban, Ezel Lashoni quotes the Ramban, ki betchila haya mastir ponov mehem, ki b'shas hester ponim, this brings us into a theological concept called Hester Ponim, where Hashem's face is hidden. And the appeal, Re'eh, is the counter appeal to that. Kadosh Baruch Hu, don't be hidden from us. Don't allow your interventional providence in our life to be distant. Rather, come close, be revealed. What is Hester Panim? What does that mean that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is hidden? So the Torah tells us in Sefer Devarim, in the context of a tochacha to the Jewish people, of a rebuke, Bechara api vo bayomahu vazavtim, in source number 7, and my anger will flare up against them, and I will abandon them. V'estarti panai mehem, and I will hide my face from them. V'haya le'achol, and they could be subject to being consumed. U'matza'uhu ra'os rabos v'tzoros, and many evils and troubles will find them. V'omar bayom hahu, and they will say in that day, on that day, halo al ki ein elokei kai bekirbi, surely it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in our midst that these evils have befallen us. V'anochi haster astir panai bo bayom ahu, al kol hara'a asher asa kip'ana el Elohim achirim. And I will keep my face hidden on that day because of all of the evil that they have done in turning to others for avodah zarah. This is the notion of Esther Panim, where an individual, or the nation, really this is a national reality, experience some sort of concealment of God. That almost, it's like he's not, he's present, he exists. Of course, the whole world would unravel and fall apart if God didn't exist. It's a compelling reality and truth, the existence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. But in terms of the interventional providence of our lives and of our national destiny, HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes concealed. So, Re'ei V'anyeinu. So this is addressing what we could experience as a mini Hester Panim. A mini Hester Panim. Sometimes we have a period of time in our life where it's not just one challenge. It's not just two challenges. It's not just five challenges. It's 10, 20, 30, 40. And we're the only one on the block with all these challenges. And we're the only one in the community with all these challenges. Sometimes it's so overwhelming what the Gemara describes as uchlupu botsaros. It just feels like he just went next door. He's just not here. Hester Panim. Re'ei v'anyeinu. Hashem, look at our suffering. Don't walk away. Don't, because we've walked away from you, walk away from us. See the suffering that's going on and allow that to be part of the calculus of how you relate to us with compassion and with intervention and with a sense of love. Re'ei v'anyeinu, the counter to the world of Hester Panim. I wanted to share with you, there's a fascinating sefer that was written by Rav Baruch Yehoshua Rabinowitz. Who is Rav Baruch Yehoshua Rabinovich? He was a Rav. He's somebody, he was born in Poland. He died in Eretz Yisrael. And he was the son-in-law of the Munkacher Rebbe. He was the son-in-law of the Minchas Elazar. He's a fascinating figure because really, he was positioned in the aftermath of the Holocaust to take over for the Munkacher Rebbe, for the entire Munkach Chassidus. There's a lot of discussion of exactly what happened, but he personally went in a very different direction. He ended up moving to Brazil and establishing a Rabbonus there. And he didn't function and emerge as a Rebbe, as the next Munkacher Rebbe. And actually, his son became the next Munkacher Rebbe. And there's a lot of discussion regarding the relationship, very, very complicated and difficult between his children and him. He ended up becoming a Rav, ultimately in Eretz Yisrael, and became very involved in the establishment of the Rabbanut and of in the more Zionist circles. And so he's a fascinating Torah personality. He wrote a sefer called Binas Nivonim, in which he kind of unpacks some of the issues related to Emunah and the Holocaust, what it was like for them to contend with their challenges and their questions and their issues of the Holocaust. And he addresses this issue of Hester Panim. What is Hester Panim? So Hester Panim literally would seem to mean that, again, always precipitated by our rebellion. But we somehow do something against God, and the Ribbono Shel Olam, on some level, however it's hard for us to conceive of this, the Ribbono Shel Olam on some level becomes hidden. He contracts his interventional protection against the normative winds of history. And that leaves the Jewish people very vulnerable and very open and susceptible to persecution and attack. So one of the ways that people theologically deal with events as cataclysmic as the Holocaust is not to ascribe, God forbid, such a magnitude of suffering to some particular sin or to some particular failing, but rather that for whatever reason, which it's difficult for us, we can't really fathom why, for whatever reason, the Ribbono Shel Olam entered into some sort of zone of Hester Panim. God was hidden. He was hidden. And therefore, there was, so to speak, like an open season, and the Jewish people became unnaturally or naturally susceptible to whatever forces of anti-Semitism and persecution were in existence at the time in the world. This is a school of thought. This is a school of thought in terms of how to deal with theodicy, the challenge of a good God and an evil world experience of that magnitude. So in the Binas Nivonim, he addresses this concept, this interpretation of Hester Panim. And he quotes the Sepharno and he quotes the Ibn Ezra, and he has his own characterization of what Hester Panim really is. And he writes that Hester Panim is not, chas v'shalom, ever the abandonment of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's never that God has removed himself from a presence in our life. Hester Panim rather describes the human experience of certain moments in Jewish history where God's presence is so concealed that we experience it as removed from our lives. The questions are so strong, and the dissonance between what we would expect from a merciful Ribbono Shel Olam is so great from what we're experiencing that it emerges for us as Hester Panim. And he quotes Psukim from Nach, and he says this was always true. If you read through Eicha, this is the whole metaphor of Yerushalayim saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu abandoned me. What does that mean? That means that God's not in Yerushalayim. God that transcends time and space is not in Yerushalayim. The Shekhinah is not in Yerushalayim. The Shekhinah is in Yerushalayim forever. What does that mean? It means that there are moments in Jewish history where we experience God as concealed, as distant. And there are moments where we experience God as distant in our own lives as well. Re'ei ve'anyeinu is a appeal to the Ribbono Shel Olam that we should be able to detect that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the suffering that we are enduring, the challenges that we have. That what we experience in life and what comes our way is an expression of a experience with God in which it is so clear to us that he's present, that he's here. As opposed to when we know he's here, but it's faith, it's not vision. We don't see it. In a doma shmiel l'ri'iyah, can't see it. It's hidden. We know that God is there, rock solid. We know that the Ribbono Shel Olam is there. Tzur Yisrael, it's there's no question. There's an anchor of faith. We don't experience life in such a way that we see that he sees what's going on. And we who've lived through some unbelievable chaos over the last number of months, there have certainly been moments, not where chas v'shalom we doubt the existence or presence or relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, but there have been moments where we looked around and we're like, what is happening here? What is happening? Some of the greatest people of our generation taken from us in minutes, in ways that were so challenging to contemplate, alone, disconnected from the community, the entire Jewish people cut off from their spiritual lifeline of being able to convene and gather in Tefillah B'Tzibur, that's not a life experience within which we can say, oh, we see God's open presence in our life right now. Those are experiences of emunas chabalelos. We have faith. We know, rock solid, the Rabbon Shem's there every minute, every moment. But that's not how we experience it. We experience it as Him hidden. Kadosh Baruch Hu, I want to experience my challenges in such a way that you're there right next to me. I don't want to experience challenges in a way that I feel distant, that I feel alone, that I feel disconnected, that I feel alienated. I know I'm going to have challenges in my life. We're living in a reality of golus. That's where we are. I know there are going to be challenges. But re'ei v'anyenu v'riva rivenu, the ge'ula that I'm looking for is to feel a connection to you within that reality as well. That's the redemption. The redemption is not that everything's fixed. The redemption is vayeda Elokim. I feel like you know me, you get me, you're with me. I can sense it, I can experience it, I can feel it. And now we understand why it follows these earlier brachos, because we have wisdom, and we have repentance, and we have forgiveness. And now we need connection. And that's what the bracha of Geula is. It's a bracha for connection between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a bracha that we could feel His presence in our life and in what's going on over the course of our life experiences. And that's what we're appealing to the Rabbono Shalom for. Okay, we're going to stop here for this evening. Emir Tzashem, we will pick up next week, finishing this bracha and starting the next one. It's really wonderful to gather together with everyone. I see we have a wonderful olam here together on Zoom, as I mentioned in shul. If we have enough people that are interested, we can move the shir into the shul as well. Although we could not host 50 people in the shul. So I'm not sure, maybe that's not going to happen for better reasons. But we look forward to being in touch with everyone. We look forward to continuing to learn together. And for those who are interested, we did start our Daf HaShavua with Maseches Brachos this past Sunday. Very easy to go online and pick up that Daf Beis and then join us this Sunday. And this coming Sunday morning at 7:15, please email David Adler if you're interested. We're going to start the Smichas Chaver program in our shul Be'ezus Hashem. Look to the announcements and the emails that we've sent out that describe that amazing program. We have a lot of learning going on, and it's wonderful to be with everyone. Everyone should have an amazing and redeemed night.